So today's message is basically birth forth from our time in the boiler room as we collectively come and sought the Lord and press on to further to acknowledge that God is God and that we know that He will give us breakthrough. And we know that what we are contending against. God has opened doors to different mission ground, and one of it that is up front that we're contending is the Sarawak mission. And I think Pastor Ed has already announced many times that our heart burns for the Penan people, and we want to be able to get into the work, like really get into the work. And so this year, Posim, Pastor Ed, and Ken has gone into new area, and out of that, they came back with a new burden, but also with burden on the right leg somehow. So we want to press in because God said in Joshua chapter 1 verse 3 that where our feet land, there He will give it to us. And I believe that that leg will tremble and crush every serpent, every cobra, every lion, and we're not going to be afraid. Amen. It is when we are able, Chuck Pierce, I'm going to say Chuck Norris. Chuck Pierce says that if we do not fear death, if we can stand and declare that we are not afraid to die, that is when that spirit of fear breaks and the anointing flows. And when that anointing flows, nothing can stop us. And we want to be unstoppable church. Amen. I know that humanly speaking, we are very small in size, right? But again and again, the Lord has been reminding me that it is not the size, although size does matter, but we are training disciples. Jesus' command is go and make disciples of all nations. And disciples need time for training. And we're not just making disciples, but we are making warriors. We're not just making warriors, we are raising generals. And that is a great difference. Amen. Generals are people who can lead the troop out. Okay, those who came for boiler room training, we watch an old Hong Kong show called San Guo, Three Kingdoms. I wanted to watch Dragon Blade, but we didn't. We weren't able to get it. And that show displayed to us very vividly, very evidently that to conquer the land, you need troops to be sent out. And every troop is governed and led by the general. And together, the different general will conquer different division. And in order for the enemy to win, they will break our spirit. And so to keep our spirit and our hope intact is very important. Contact players always say mental mesti kuat. Kalau mental tak kuat, you cannot advance. Because if the enemy can break our spirit, we cannot do anything. And so whatever we're facing, I want us to hold on to hope. Because hope, without hope, everything else kaput. So today's message, I have entitled it, Move to Seize Your Call. Move to Seize Your Call. I'm going to share from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 19. During boiler room time, this is the passage that the Lord revealed to us to contend in the heavenlies. And even as we move into praying and interceding and doing warfare during Friday, we could feel the evidence of the intense warfare that was going on. And I ask that we will rise up as a church to go on the offensive. Now, how many of us in this season of change, 4 months already, come church camp will be the 5th month, and we've been talking about change. So how many of us have already experienced change or changes? Good. The rest, status quo, I ask you. There's so many changes that just came to us as a family and even for myself when the year opens up. And we knew that we really have to keep in step with the Spirit. And so I feel like we cannot keep talking about change, but we need to move into action. We need to move to seize whatever that change is. We have gone one cycle as a church. Some of you were here from the very beginning. If you fall into the seven adults category, then you were here from day one. And some of you, if you are the first 20 people, then you would have seen at least the first couple of years of struggle and then how the Lord grow us and stabilize us. And then come this time, we have some new people around. And I have spoken from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10 to 12, night watch 2009, crossing over to 2010. I talk about the almond tree. And that's British, because I think Americans say almond, is it? Because my American friends say almond. And then I'm like, almond? And he's saying, we've been taught in a British system is almond, just as we've been taught is flour. And then my American friend, one day I went into her house and said, let's do baking with the children. I said, good. And she opened her cupboard and she said, let me run down to the street to buy some flour. I'm like, why do we need flour to bake bread? And so she went off and I was still scratching my head. Why on earth do we need flour to bake? So I waited and waited and she came back with a bag of flour. I'm like, okay, these Americans are always different, you know, they're always different from other people. So whether it's almond, almond, flour, flour, that is because of the Tower of Babel, I think. Malaysians say, almond lah. So I spoke on that, I remember at night watch, and I remember giving you guys a big bunch, a bowl of this almond nuts with cranberries and mixed fruit, and every nut has a meaning to it. But today I'm going to touch very little on that because that is the past message. But I'm going to run through and then highlight what I want to concentrate today. So in this new cycle, we need to move into action to higher ground. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4 to 19. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I say, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. Familiar? But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I've set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I'm calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and everyone shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgment against them for all the evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. But you, dress yourself for work, arise. And say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar of bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its official, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word aloud because we know there is power in your word and that power resounds in our midst right into the spirit man and it resounds in the spirit realm to break bondages and to give us freedom and breakthrough and miracles in Jesus' name. Amen. There will be 7 points if you're taking notes. Firstly, there is an appointment given by the Lord to Jeremiah that we can all identify. Because all of us are made for a purpose. Our Creator created us and He will give us a design to fit and function accordingly. There is no one that exists on this earth that do not have a calling. Amen? If you are a designer and you design something, there must be a purpose for your invention. You don't invent something that is useless and pointless. Even if the invention is for fun, it must serve a purpose. Fun. Right? So all of us have a purpose. We are all created with a purpose. Now here, the Lord gave an appointment. There was a call and there was a commission in Jeremiah's life. And God said to him, before I formed you in the womb, before the conception, before, even before that time, he has been thought of. You and I have been carefully thought of. And that's why Psalm 139 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's a very powerful verse that we must let immerse into our life because that's where we are secured in our identity. That's who we are. Who we are. We decide who we are. In James last week, there's 2 doors. Now, this one is copied from Dove advertisement. Huh? Are you beautiful or are you average? You decide which door you want to walk through. Andrew says, I saw it in Facebook. He commented on that and we have a good laugh. Anyway, go and read his Facebook. So, are you beautiful or are you average? Depends on your identity. When you look into the mirror, do you think you're beautiful or common lah? Worse still, some people say ugly lah. Nose not high enough, eyes not big enough, not tall enough, not thin enough. You know, all sorts of things when you look inside, you decide who you are based on your view. And our view on who we are should be a biblical God view, not the world view. But if you're going to base your reference point on a secular view, then we cannot match up. We will never match up. We will always fall short. But when we go back to the Word of God, the origin, the intention is all of us are beautiful. All of us are awesome. Because guys, I know they all, I'm awesome. I have so many awesome guys here. You always hear, I'm awesome. And the girls are a bit shy. They dare not say I'm beautiful. You know, they're more modest. But all my guys here say I'm awesome. Get them? Right? Don't say awesome out of pride, but awesome because you take pride in who you are in Christ Jesus. And so here it says that God has been carefully thinking of and that thought has been taken into conception to birth forth who Jeremiah is, who we are. And he has been said here that he has been consecrated and that is to being set apart for a purpose, for a higher purpose. You and I are set apart for a purpose. And so not only he has been given an identity, he has been given a commission. He has been given a destiny. So God calls him and gives him a commission. God gives him an identity. God gives him a destiny. And you and I have to walk into that destiny that has been paved for us according to God. And our destiny is marked out by God. But we have to be obedient to walk in that path of our destiny. So there is a declaration here of God over Jeremiah's life that he says, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And you're sitting there and thinking, I'm not a prophet, Selena. I'm a teacher, a pastor, evangelist, apostle. I'm a nobody. I don't have gifts. That is a liar. Every one of us must have something that is of use. But basically, prophet, a lot of us know that it means speaker, it means messenger, it means that God gives you a message and you deliver. But actually the Hebrew root word of prophet means one who is called. So are you called? If you're one who is called, you are a prophet according to the Hebrew root word. And so God gave him a commission together with that call. So coupled with the identity and destiny, everything was marked out for Jeremiah. And I want us to be able to receive that and to remember that we have a place in God's plan. God already appointed us. Secondly, God, before God go on further, there was an acknowledgement of what? Jeremiah made a confession, and it's a negative confession. Whether you like it or not, we can identify, right? We can identify here. It says, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a youth, or I'm only old people, or I'm this, I'm that. That's just an excuse, a very familiar excuse for all of us. Moses gave excuses. He has a lot of buts, and then God come in and silence all the buts. B-U-T-S, okay, not B-U-T-T. You're giggling there. But when he confessed his limitation and weaknesses, again, it tells us there is a spirit of fear in Jeremiah, the young man here. Commentary says he's about 20 years old here. There is a spirit of fear that bind him, and that's why he give excuses. And we all can identify with that because we all have all sorts of excuses. Time, talent, speech, whatever. But whatever excuse, God always have an answer to that. And so he's rebuilt to that insecurity and inferiority complex. God says that I send you. And when I command you, you will go. When I speak to you, you will speak to the people. And then he says, I will be with you. I am with you. Not I will, but I am with you. So before he can give another excuse, God says that I am with you. That means to say that I will direct you and you will follow. And when you follow, I am with you. And so before we can see the miracle of breakthrough, we need to be obedient. We need to take that step of faith. And when we take that step of faith and obedience, we see God's help and deliverance. Amen. So as I'm talking, I'd like you to talk to the Holy Spirit as well. What is the changes that God wants you to experience or take that is from Him when you cross over this year, but you're still holding back and not moving to seize that call? So don't come in on Sunday and just listen to messages and think, oh, that's a good message. But what do you take home after that message? What do you do about it when you receive that message? And then, thirdly, the Lord just didn't stop here to give him that acknowledgement, but anointing was given. Because when he said, I can't speak, God touched his mouth so that he can speak. That speaks of anointing. Because when we do things without the anointing of God, nothing happens in the spiritual. It is only when God comes and anoint us, then we do those things in authority. Then we do those things in the Spirit of God. Because Zechariah 4:6 says that it is not by might. It is not by power. It is only by the Spirit of the mighty God. Means whatever you claim that you are good at, it's not going to be good enough to have an eternal value, to impact people, to influence people for Christ, and unless God steps in and give you the anointing. And when the anointing comes, it breaks the yoke. And anointing can only come when we spend enough time worshiping and receiving the Word of God in our own closet. It doesn't come by touch and go. Anointing comes when you draw so close to God. And when the anointing follows you, it's like the favor of God. It is effortless in whatever God calls you to do. Fourthly, with that anointing, God gives him an authority. He was appointed to the nations and over the kingdoms. Now that is a huge, massive, tremendous, incredible responsibility. in order to go to the nations and over kingdoms, we cannot just walk in and do whatever we want to do. That is a lot of hard work. And point number four is the one I want to stress. As a church, this is our season of change. It's no longer praying defensive prayer, but we need to be bold and move out and seize that call. Whatever land that the Lord is giving us as a church, we will go in and seize that call. And it requires a lot of hard work besides prayer, physical work, money, resources, personnel, faithfulness, determination, diligence, persistence, endurance. But in your own life as well, what is the changes that the Lord wants you to move in to conquer those territories? It could be in your mind. It could be in your heart, your emotion. What is the field or the territory that God wants you and I to conquer in this season of change? Families, ministries, actual land, or is a heart issue, a mind issue? What is the thing that God wants us to move in, to move in to do what? Two things happen here. It's a cause and effect. We need to move in to destroy. So destruction will precede any construction to happen. Before you can construct and rebuild and plant, you need to demolish and bring down all that is not of God and make it crush before you can move in to rebuild. So if God calls us into a specific land or territory, there will be a lot of warfare, because what God requires Jeremiah to do here, we can apply. He says to pluck up. And plucking is a weeding process. Plucking requires hard work. You sweat out. Plucking, when you pull out weeds, you get painful hands. I bleed when I pluck weeds, and that's why I don't do gardening. I leave it to Edward. And so you come to my house, it's like a lot of weeds there. Because he has no time, I'm not going to touch the weeds, because I tried doing it last time and I bled. Plucking, weeding out those things in our mind that is not of God, is intentional pulling out. Plucking out all these weeds in our heart. It has to be deliberate, intentional doing. It may be painful. It will be painful. But if you don't pluck out, God cannot plant in. Because whatever God is trying to put in, it cannot take root until the negative things are cleared out. Right? If it's all cluttered, you cannot plant new things. You have to dig it out. So we have to be plucking out, digging out, and it's a tedious job. It's a painful process. It causes pain to the hands of those who are plucking, and you have to sweat it, and we will be wounded in the process of plucking and breaking down, because we have to be aggressive. We have to be aggressive in the breaking down. When we take it out, we don't just take it out. We want to break it, destroy it. It's here to destroy. Destroy means to demolish until there is no more evidence. So if any negative roots in our mind, in our heart, or in the actual field or land that God is asking us to conquer, we need to be praying, to be weeding until everything that is negative is pulled out and cleansed and destroyed without evidence. Then we can do the new planting. And when that happens, it will take some time for healing process before you can plant. And God says to destroy and then to overthrow. Means you have nothing left. And when you're cleansed out, all this destruction has been done, then we can move in to construct new structures. To build and rebuild new things. To plant. The soil must be loosened up. The soil must be broken up to be ready for replanting. And what do we want to plant? We want to plant the seeds of faith. We want to plant the seeds of love. We want to plant the seeds of joy. We want to plant the seeds of peace. kindness, goodness, faithfulness, that ultimately will yield salvation. So I believe that what we're contending here, that I'm highlighting here for our church, is it is a season of pushing and pushing and praying and doing and until we are able to plant new things. It's a new cycle. We want to plant new things. We want to see changes in our lives. We want to see changes in the church. We want to see changes in our community. We want to change changes in our cities, nations, and beyond. And you say, how? There needs to be a lot of warfare prayer. No more, Lord, Lord. Aggressive warfare, intense prayer. And I want to encourage us to arise in this time of change to war against the power of darkness that come against us to prevent us from constructing new things. Amen. Are you ready for warfare? Welcome it. Are you ready for warfare? Is the church ready for warfare? You can't sit down to pray warfare prayer. You need to be up. Not just up. You need to be aggressive. You need to be intense. I like that word. Intense. It's intense prayer. It's deep prayer. Now, Jeremiah is a very intense prophet. If you read the book of Jeremiah, he's a very intense prophet. He's serious. He's tenacious. And my prayer for the church this season is that we will arise to be very tenacious people. Tenacious means what? Very strong, very courageous, very thick. Very full of courage and strength. The Hokkien say, I pa kai ya. Means, you want to win, you must fight. There's a song to it. Very, very old song. Maybe Aliang can sing to us. Or Randy. So we must be ready to make that soil ready. It's our responsibility. And when we move on, he asks Jeremiah, what do you see? So this is the one that I've been speaking a lot in last season, that he saw an almond tree. So fifth point, almond represent a new season. It represents a new beginning. Because almond in Hebrew is the same sound. It means watching or saqued. S-A-Q-E-D or S-A-Q-A-D. I don't know how to pronounce that. But almond represents the first fruit in spring. That means in spring, where flowers are blooming, almond is the first tree that you can see the evidence of it. And it represents watch or watching. And God is saying that watch. I am watching over the word to perform it. God himself is watching his word. God is not a God of liar. He's not like man. But when he says something, he will do it. And while God is watching that word to be fulfilled, we need to watch with him. And that's why Jesus says, be alert, be watchful. So we need to catch the prophetic word. Here, he's giving him a prophetic sight, an almond, a representation of a new beginning. What is the prophetic sight or prophetic word that God has released to you in this season of change? That you must catch it. Catch it and put it in your spirit and watch that word come to life. Don't just catch it, but you need to cultivate that word. You need to watch and cultivate. How do you cultivate that word that God gives you? We pray, we worship diligently. Guard over it. I have many, many people, especially young people that we pastor throughout the years, come and tell me that I have a full-time calling. I say, very good. But do something about it as you grow. maturing in your life, you must take steps towards that full-time calling. But many were called, unfortunately. But that prophetic call was put on the shelf. I have so many young people, now no more so young, all in their 30s and have kids. When I meet them, I said, your call? I have even friends in the 40s. What happened to your call? And they just laugh it off. Why? It's not being watched. That word was not cultivated. That word, the prophetic word received, put on the shelf. You need to cultivate that word. You need to guard that word. You need to water that word. We worship, we pray until it becomes life. And while that is happening, God said He Himself will watch with us and He Himself will perform it. And the second time, God asked him, what do you see? He said, another vision, he saw a boiling pot. So boiling pot represent danger, represent war, represent calamity that was going to come against them because the people of the land has forsaken God. They were rebellious. And because of that, God pronounced a judgment against those who do not follow Him. Jeremiah is a prophet of judgment. Like I say, he's intense. And when I read this part, I thought, I can identify and feel this. Because a lot of times, people say, hey, GCC messages are good, but it's very hard, a bit too hard. And when I read that, I smiled to myself. Because different people have different calling. Different churches have different mandate. Isaiah, you read Isaiah, it's about salvation. He's a prophet of salvation. If you read Ezekiel, he's a prophet of the glory of God, revealing His glory. But if you read Daniel, he's the prophet that declares the kingdom of God. But when you read Jeremiah, it's an intense book of judgment. He's a prophet of judgment. He is serious with what God speaks to him and serious to bring it forth. And therefore, he's not popular with the people. And people still rebel despite that. But yet, he stands his ground, he do his work faithfully, and he's called the weeping prophet. I can identify. Weep and weep and weep, but sometimes you still feel like nothing is happening. Nothing is happening in the land, nothing is happening in people's life. Of course, got some results, but I'm sure Jeremiah experienced some positive results as well. But generally, if you read, it can be quite depressing to read the book of Jeremiah because people were so stubborn. People were stiff-necked. And that's why God judged. So for Jeremiah, he's a person that his emotions run deep for the people. He agonized for the people and the land. And he's really disgusted by the evil in his time. And he's discouraged by the lack of response from people. Oh, can my leaders identify with this? But he was courageous. He was persevering. If you read the book of Jeremiah, he's serious. He feel the pain that God feel. How many of us have prayed, God, let me carry your burden? That's a very bold prayer to pray. Because when you say, God, let me feel what you feel, that song, Hosanna, right? Yeah, break my heart and make it clean. I want to feel, that song say, I want to feel God, how you feel. When you feel God, how God feel, you are going to break down and cry. It's a tremendous burden. But despite being unpopular, Jeremiah stood his ground and he did not compromise the truth and what he hears from God. And he just keep doing. He keep being faithful. And so church, I want to tell you, as an encouragement that even though in your time with the community or your sphere of influence in the sports, in your workforce, in the secular, that while you are trying to do good, the Word of God says, do not stop. Do not be weary of doing good because you will reap the rewards at the end. You just keep doing what is right. And that was what Jeremiah was doing. He just keep doing. You know, if you read, it's like more than 150 times Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. But yet people did not repent. So don't give up. Let's press on and press through. Even though there are difficult grounds to conquer, God says He will be with us. Amen. If you need to weep like Prophet Jeremiah, then ask God for energy. Because weeping requires energy. It requires mental energy, emotional energy, physical energy, and love and compassion and endurance. You can't weep and carry the burden of God unless you have compassion of God. By our own accord, there's no capacity that we can carry that compassion, right? No matter how kind you are, how loving you are, we don't have that tremendous capacity to carry God's burden. But if we as a church and individuals say, God, let me carry your burden, we must be prepared to be tenacious like Jeremiah. Number six. And after all the portion of telling the boiling pot and the disaster that could come upon them, I think it was verse 17. God says, but you, is it 17? But you dress for work. But you dress for work. Arise. That few words is very powerful. Arise. My point is arise! Exclamation mark. Arise to do what? Arise. Get ready for work. Because when I say, JC, arise. Oh, ho tang wa. Halfway when obey. This is half obedience. You want to obey, you must obey all the way, right? When I say, or when God says arise, it does mean that it's an active word, right? Arise is a verb. You need to get up from a lowly position to a higher position. Get ready. You don't just arise. When people say arise, means there is something expected to be done when you arise. That means you're moving from point A to point B. From moving from a lower ground to a higher ground. You can't move unless you arise. If you're always sitting down, you can't move. And so it's a get ready for work. And that talks about a change of position. In order to move in to seize our call, we need a change of position. We need to reposition ourselves. We talk about a lot of repositioning in the last season as well. And repositioning takes courage. Because repositioning will require you to move out of your comfort zone. And when you move out of the comfort zone, you always have to rely on the Holy Spirit. It's no longer you taking charge of the familiar route and the familiar things. And the Chinese say, sometimes, kia siu, you tread water. And so in Bible study, we talk about ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, soul deep. Now, where are you? With God in your journey. Are you ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, or you're soul deep and treading water? That's the best part to be in. Because when you're treading water, that is the thrill. Some of you say, boring. My life is so boring. Go tread water. Tread water with God and get all the thrills. But in order to do that, you have to move from the shore into the depths. Movement. You need to arise from here and move into the depth. Nobody can force us. We must want it. And so when God said, get ready for work, He is saying, you need to be hardworking. You need to expect it's not going to be easy. You need to be diligent. You need to be industrious. You need to get going. Not just slumber through your days. But some of you may be saying, get going to where? He only say you dress yourself for work, arise. Arise and do what? Be patient. Arise, God will give you the direction. God will give you the command. What does it say in the second part after you arise? And say to them everything that I command you. And say to them everything that I command you. So that is the directive of God. After He arise, He need to go and speak to the people. And we need to go and speak to whichever influence or so-called authority in the different place that we need to conquer. And sometimes, if not most of the times, when we're doing warfare, we need to speak to the devil, not God. Because God knows everything. We remind Him of His promises, but when we are contending at war front, we speak to our enemy. We speak to the devil. You say, speak to the devil. Yes, we need to arise with the authority that God gave to us and tell the devil face up front, say, it is written in His word. By the blood of Jesus Christ. The cross is the victory. We need to learn to speak to the devil. Then the devil will flee. Then you're telling the devil, don't play with me because I'm a child of God. Don't play with me. I'm a general of this army. In this season, I'm praying very bold prayer. I'm telling the enemy, don't touch my people. I'm protecting them. Don't touch my youth. Don't touch my young adults. Don't touch my church. Don't touch my children. They always say, don't arouse the anger of a woman. True, right? True, Randy says it's true. So we need to arise and speak to the enemy who we are and what kind of authority we have in Christ Jesus. And lastly, number 7. There is an affirmation. God promised him and declares over Jeremiah that he will be a fortified city. He will be an iron pillar and bronze wall. That is a threefold defense given by God against every kind of power that come against him. A fortified city that talks about a strong fortress. Iron pillar. You cannot bang through. And steady bronze walls. That is the kind of strength the Lord is giving him. And I believe that that is the kind of strength the Lord is giving us if God is calling us to raise up warriors, to be a church of warriors, then we will be fortified by Him. We will be fortified. We will be strong. We will be steady. We will be stable. Now, he didn't promise that there will not be attacks. There will not be opposition. There will not be persecution. But he actually says in the word that there will definitely be attacks from the enemy. Definite. It's inevitable. When we are found in the will of God and doing the things of God and advancing and growing, the enemy is not going to be passive. And so, we are in a very good place because I know many of my leaders are contending. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be tough like Pastor Ed says. when you're persecuted, when you're in pain, praise the Lord, because you're in a good place. Because it's in that desperation we learn how to fight. When everything is well and good, we also well and good. We just float around. We just play ankle deep water. Woo, so nice, like kids. Right? But it's when we walk deeper, that's the thrill. Ah! I told you all about my drowning experience, right? And God will give us courage against every enemy's attack. His declaration and promise is a present tense. He says, I am with you. With that, he closed that passage. I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. That speaks of his divine presence and protection and provision and action. I want us to catch something and take back something today. What can you take home today that you can apply in your own life as you look at Jeremiah chapter 1? What do you need to destroy in your life and then build or rebuild? As a church, I want us later on to spend some time praying for the Sarawak mission that God is launching us out. And that is what we are contending with. And I want us to rise up against the evil eyes that look upon us as we go in and scout the land. I want us to contend against the spirit of Jezebel. And the spirit of Jezebel speaks of the spirit of manipulation and pride and rebellion and control. I want us to stand and force through. But even as we collectively as a church do warfare prayer, now I've been waiting for 7 years. I said, God, my people are not ready. God, my people are not ready. But I don't think we should wait some more. We really need to arise. But in order to do warfare prayer, we need to keep our lives clean before God. We need to guard our prayer time. Otherwise, when we are not pure, we will be attacked. So we want to arise as a church to advance. No more standing back. We need to advance. So two things I want us to just take a little bit of time. What stands out for you in moving to seize your call in this change season? Are you grappling with the appointment of God? Or the acknowledgement of your own limitation and weaknesses that you cannot overcome? Or is it the anointing issue? Is it an authority issue? Is it a prophetic release, a word that you did not cultivate? Is it a problem of knowing all this but cannot arise? Or arise like JC halfway and then sit down again? Because you're not too sure if God will go with you. What is the one thing that you can take back tonight? That you can place at the altar and say, God, help me. What is it in your life? Is it in the mind, in the spirit, in the emotion? That you need to destroy so that you can rebuild. Holy Spirit, we receive your new work in our lives. We will not give excuses, O Lord. We will move where you want us to move. We will arise and go where you want us to go. We will speak as you direct us. We will be courageous because you are with us. We will not be afraid nor dismayed because we hold on to your promise of deliverance. Father, we thank you that you appoint us. We thank you that, Lord, you give us a call and a commission in our lives. We are marked out with the identity in Christ Jesus. Our destiny has been marked out by you. And Father, we want to be obedient and faithful to walk in that destiny. For we exist with a purpose, for your higher purpose, Lord. We do not exist for our selfish ambition. We exist on this earth to do your work. Grant us, Lord, your anointing and authority to pluck up and break down, to destroy and overthrow all that is not of you in our lives, in the land that you have called us to conquer, territories to conquer, bad habits to overcome. Will allow you to heal us. As we hold on to our prophetic word that you've breathed into our lives, we take care of it. We nurture that prophetic release in our life. We cultivate it. We pray and we worship. We diligently watch over it so that when we know it's time to build and to plant, we will do it with all our might and our strength, yet relying on you, God. Thank you for affirming your presence with us. Father, today as we go home, we want to feel a tangible shift in our spirit. We want to see an obvious change in our lives for the better. We want that to take effect, O Lord, so that we can be agents that will affect positive changes in the people around us, in our sphere of influence, in the community and society, in our city, in the nation, and beyond. Father, we are determined not to let this year pass by without seeing change in our lives. We're desperate for change, O Lord. And we want to just stay so close with you. And we know, God, that when we do that in the fountain of the living water, no more sipping, O God, in the oasis, but Lord, just coming under the waterfalls and drink in deeply. God, we know that you're going to blow us away. You're going to astound us, oh God, with your miracles and breakthrough. We declare that we are people who will watch over your word as you perform it, because we love you. And you say that, God, you will satisfy us. You will satisfy us. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's children say, Amen.